Blog Talk Radio.
Consciousness. It's time for love and empowerment, and it's time for you to create your own personal revolution. This is Carol Parisi with Nancy G. I had a little background noise there, kind of threw me off a bit. I just want to welcome everyone to this week's Awaken to Empowerment show. How you doing, Nance?
Good, good. I'm tooling around, so if it gets too obnoxious, let me know and you can mute it again, but I'm next to somebody who's playing loud music in their vehicle.
You're tooling around. What are you driving?
Yeah.
Driving home because, okay, and you didn't get that air conditioning fixed in southern Florida, huh?
No, that's not going to get fixed. Too much money to invest in too old a vehicle.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for joining us tonight. Did you go to?
I didn't hear you.
Huh? You go to dinner? You can't even hear me.
I was having a very hard time hearing you, except for that last sentence.
Wow. Okay, because I'm talking the same thing.
Okay. I cranked my earpiece up. Maybe that'll help.
Okay. Well, last week's show on Think and Grow Rich, and we're really starting to wind down here. We're already on chapter 12. Last week we talked about sex mutation, but I'm going to call it distraction from destiny, because a lot of people go ahead and chase tail, and they could be highly successful. I'm sure you've heard of men that had millions of dollars and they started chasing tail and lost it all. And if they would have taken that energy and focused that energy into creation, they would have maintained their success. In fact, I dated one. Made millions of dollars and then all of a sudden... But this week is a... But I am gonna see if I could turn your microphone down a bit for a lot of background noise.
Gotcha.
You know what, Nancy? Do you cover your mouth?
If I knew where it was on my phone, I'd be happy to. I don't know if it exits the same place it enters or not.
You don't have an earpiece? That's quiet.
No,
now.
I don't.
Whatever you're doing is quiet.
Nothing. Didn't do anything. Just maybe in a quieter area.
Okay. That's actually quiet. Okay, so here's the subconscious mind. This is connecting the 11th Step to Riches. This is like a really big powerhouse. A power principle is your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind consists of a field of consciousness, every impulse, thought, that reaches the objective mind through any of the five classified and recorded. From here, thoughts may be recalled or withdrawn as letters may be taken from a filing cabinet. These files sense impressions or thoughts regardless of their nature. Consider the connection with the instructions on Chapter 2 on Desire for the six steps that were outlined and the instructions on Chapter 7 on Planning, and you will understand the importance of thought conveyed. Here's a famous poem. You never can tell what a thought can do in bringing hate or love. The thoughts are things, and their airy wings are swifter than carrier doves. They follow the law of the universe. Each thing creates its kind, and they speed over the track to bring you back whatever went out from your mind. That's kind of powerful, huh?
Yep, pretty awesome.
So there are seven major positive emotions which you want to feed your subconscious mind. And those are desire, faith, love, sex, enthusiasm, romance, and hope. All in good ways. Now, there are seven major negative emotions, and that's fear, jealousy, hatred, revenge, grief, superstition, and anger. So what do you think of all that?
Well, it makes sense, that's for sure. I would assume your focus should be more on the positive ones than focusing on the negative emotions.
Well, yeah, because thoughts are things, you know. Thoughts are such things, and we've got, it's time for everyone's personal revolution, you know. I mean, you know, you just need to, you know, if you want to change your life, you have to change your mind. It's that simple, you know. And I think a lot of people subconsciously have things going on, like resentment or anger or jealousy or any of those negative things, you know?
Correct.
And sometimes they don't even know that, you know?
Well, that's half of it, right, is that you have to recognize that in order to change anything about it.
I mean, you know, I think our society has gotten more angry lately, you know?
I think so, and more negative in a lot of ways. But then more awake.
We're trying to divide people because they have money to make it look like they're bad. Really bad to have money? Because someone has money, does that mean that it's pretty? Well, Nancy, I found out how to mute you. I don't know if I can't hear you. You can't hear me, so I'm going to unmute you now, and maybe that'll be better. Hello? Okay, well, let's just continue. It's really hard to hear you. I don't know if you hear me. Maybe you'd want to hang up and come back. So let's focus on positive emotions right now. The emotion of desire, to want something. Our others, and to have faith in that thing, and love, pure love. And then there is that sex mutation, and the emotion of enthusiasm is great, as well as the emotion of hope. I'm hoping, Nancy, you can hear me now because I'm talking. Let's try you again. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. I just kept muting and unmuting, so it was weird.
Okay, because I mute you because there was so much background, and I asked you if you ever responded.
Oh, I couldn't hear you then.
So, positive and negative emotions. I'm going to mute you right now while I wait. Positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time. One or the other must dominate. It is our responsibility to make sure that positive emotions constitute the dominating influence of the mind. Here, the law of habit will come to your aid. Form the habit of applying and using the positive emotions. Eventually, they will dominate. That's the repetition principle. The more we repeat and the more we do, the more we're going to own this stuff. So eventually, your positive and more, you know, more positive and more desirable emotions will dominate your mind so completely the negative ones can't even come in. Have you ever...
I couldn't hear your question.
I just asked if you were... Do you hear when I mute you? Can you hear what I'm...
When I'm muted, when you're muted, I can hear you better. When you unmute it, then I, like, get every other word.
That's because of your background noise. So I will mute you because only following these instructions literally and continuously can you ultimately over this, which is a huge principle for success. And the presence of single negative in your conscious mind is sufficient. One single negative thing, one little negative thing is sufficient enough to destroy all chances of construction aid from coming to your subconscious mind. That's pretty profound. If you are an observant person, you must have noticed that most people resort to prayer only after everything else has failed, or they pray by a ritual or meaningless word. And because it's a fact that most people who pray do so only after everything else has failed, they go to prayer with their minds filled with fear and doubt when the emotions and subconscious mind act upon and pass on to infinite intelligence. Likewise, that's the emotion infinite intelligence receives and acts upon. Isn't that interesting? Most people, they... Is there? Can you hear me now?
Still, I'm telling you what, I don't know what it is, but when you unmute it, I can't hear the question that you asked me.
Is there a way that you could pull over? That's 15 minutes?
No, there is not.
Okay.
I should be off the highway in a minute, but I can't pull over.
Okay, so anyway, I said to you, does that mute this? Because it says most people use prayer as last resort. And by the time they get to praying, they're already so inundated with negative thoughts and the fear and those type of emotions that is how they're using duality when they're asking for results. So the secret to that is to have that gratitude, that prayerful gratitude every day, and to have that conversation at the deepest and most intrinsic level just on anything, because then if you keep the conversation going, you're not coming to God, the Creator, infinite intelligence from a place of fear. Nancy, do you have anything to say on this? I'm going to unmute you now.
That's better. we know that fear is not necessarily a real situation. It's stories that you tell yourself about certain situations, and then you can always choose to tell yourself other stories that are more productive and helpful to you than just being afraid of whatever the situation is. And so a lot of it is past programming that makes your fears appear real.
Right. Well, there is false evidence appearing real.
Right.
mind is really very deep. I mean, it goes on autopilot. You can tell how people... Muting you again. Okay, you could tell how people are programmed, though. You know, if you ask someone a question, you know, pertaining to, I don't know, business opportunity or something, you could just tell if somebody is really programmed in a negative way. Now, there's also people that have had reality experiences, so that doesn't always mean they're negative, right? Are you off that expressway yet?
What? About 1 minute.
Okay. So anyway, the subconscious controls a lot, and I love having another call coming in through my other line. That's just wonderful. Anyway, let's talk more about conscious mind. It is more susceptible to influence by impulses of thought mixed with feeling or emotions than by those originating solely in the reasoning portion of the mind. In fact, there's so much evidence to support the theory that only emotionalized thoughts have any action influence upon the subconscious mind. It is a well-known fact that emotions or feelings rule the majority of people. Yeah, we're ruled by feelings. We're right brain, but men are more left brain. If it is true that the subconscious mind responds more quickly to and is influenced more readily by thought impulses, while mixed with emotion, it is essential to become familiar with the more important of the emotions. So those seven major important emotions are really good. And you need to deploy auto-suggestion. Let's see if Nancy's off the expressway yet. Are you off the expressway?
Yep. I am.
Thank God. We learned something. We learned something today.
Yes. I learn something every day.
Well, yeah. Okay, so the subconscious mind is the intermediary that translates one prayers into terms that the infinite intelligence can recognize. The presence, the message, and brings it back to the answer form of definite plan or idea for procuring the object of the prayer. Understand this principle and you will know why mere words from a prayer book cannot and will never serve as an agency of communication between the human mind and infinite intelligence. Before your prayer will reach infinite intelligence, probably transformed from its original thought vibration into terms of spiritual vibration. Faith is the only known agency that will give your thoughts a spiritual nature. Faith and fear make poor bedfellows. Where one is found, the other cannot exist. That is so true. You cannot have faith and fear in the same, you know?
Right, they're like almost mutually exclusive.
No, and it does say in order to get into deep, deep touch with the subconscious, you need time, meditation time, to just sit down and be still. You know, there's science behind that, you know? There is a lot of science behind meditation and prayer and that vibration that it sends out. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, and I would think there's some kind of tool that could actually measure that.
There are tools that measure it. EEGs, I think, when people, and then there's even more power when more than one person is praying, that collective consciousness, if you will, it becomes even more part of that universe. It's really pretty cool. It is very cool. Very, very cool. Excuse me. So do you have anything to say about any of this?
This is really the kind of stuff that needs to be well digested. I remember the first time when I actually read it, and even probably the second time, it was like, it's really, it's just so intense, everything that he has to say, that I think I had to read it over and over and over a couple times.
Well, this is kind of really and where really, the rubber meets the road. I mean, this
yeah.
is really where rubber meets the road, and this is where living consistently, too, with all of this vibration you're putting out there and living
mm-hmm.
consistent with what you're asking for, you know, when you know what you're asking for, it all goes because what your actions are, you know, your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions are what produce your results. All that, you know, it's that triune, you know, the triune thing that it all works together for the subconscious mind, you know. It's pretty cool. Really, it is deep. It is deep
cool.
stuff.
Yes,
that
it is
deep
extremely.
Stuff.
Extremely. Takes a while to digest it all.
Yeah. Yep,
he's always been that way. That's how I remember it being.
Yeah, actually, it's pretty simple. It's deep, but it's simple.
Right.
It's law of attraction. It's you are what you think you are. It's like, it's almost kind of like food. You know, you are what you
uh-huh.
eat. The only thing with
right.
food is you are what you eat and what it eats, too. You know, so it's a good thing. That's a, you know, good way to jump on to like a more natural food, organic food, and a, you know, more holistic way of having meat.
Right.
Grass-fed beef, because those poor cows are like murder. I mean, they're terribly, you know, psychologically abused in the slaughterhouse.
Yeah, and sometimes you just have to take little bites of that stuff at a time, and you know, let some people can't just jump in and like we're using being vegetarian, you can't just jump into it all at once. You need to do it slowly and you know, kind of one step at a time. I mean, some people jump into it all the way.
I've been trying
but.
To do a lot more grass-fed and free-range kind of birds and, you know, wild salmon and stuff. I try not to do a lot of harvested food. And, it's real easy to do organic now. It is really easy to do organic now because everywhere you turn.
Right. It's just, right. I think the thing that is, for a lot of people, is the economic part of that is, it is definitely a more expensive way to eat.
Perhaps
unless
on the
you
front
have,
end.
Excuse me?
I said perhaps on the front end, but what?
Right. Oh, yeah. For the long run, no, because, right, exactly. It definitely definitely will save you in the long run, but you know, not a lot of people are living, you know, paycheck to paycheck, so they, it's, we know, what can I afford now? I have it a little nicer in Florida that most of the vegetables and things are very inexpensive and locally grown because of the climate we're in. And so it's really not too expensive to do, you know, your fruits and vegetables that way. But meats
right.
are still pretty intense. Or you just decide to eat less of that,
right.
but eat more quality. And, you know, that's another way to kind of deal with that.
Protein from a different source. Yeah.
Right, or just substitute, you know, do your really good animal protein as a good animal protein and then do your other stuff as substitutes that are less expensive and just have more of that and just less of the, you know, expensive protein, if we want to call it that.
Well, that was very interesting, you driving today. That was very interesting.
I got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Right. But now we know that it won't be acceptable, you know, because it can't hear
well,
anything.
Right. Well, and it's because I'm driving that kind of vehicle at this moment that I have to have the windows somewhat open or one will suffocate.
Right. Not a good thing in Florida. So
no.
I'm looking here for the book because we only have 5 minutes left. Last week was
right.
our short show for 15 minutes. How scattered was that? But
very.
We have our process and our purpose, Now, this week is aliveness. I don't believe people are looking for the meaning of life as much as they are looking for the experience of being alive. And that's Joseph Campbell. And there's, you know, people that survive life-threatening illnesses and use it as an opportunity to create change and growth. You know, what happens to them? You know, have you ever known anybody, Nancy, that had a life-threatening experience and changed their life dramatically? Do you think they made those choices?
Yeah, I actually, several people that I had one friend who had a near-death experience. Well, I mean, he technically did die. He had a heart attack and he died. And, when he came out of that, his attitude and perspective on the appreciation of life was severely different, and just how to live life and whatnot, probably just more in the moment, because from one moment to the next, you don't know what's going to be happening. You don't know what's on your game plan for that. So, and then another friend who survived a life-threatening illness and is now fighting, I don't like to say fighting against another illness, because I don't like to say fighting, but has the challenges in struggling through another illness. So then it makes you wonder,
right,
what changed.
Well, I
from the
almost
first
died
illness to this one. Yeah,
I almost died.
Well,
taking
you
get
that, right.
I was so blue, but it's really interesting because, you know, every day people make choices. And some people, you know, choose to live in negativity. They create a lot of stress. Or they adult alcohol or drugs, food or any other their means. What kind of consequences? A lot of background noise. So guess you know what? You have to contribute to your own aliveness and vitality. And, you know, you want to live breathing, energetic, active, full of life, vigorous, dynamic, vital, enthusiastic, wholehearted. And that's what that is the goal to how you live your life. So this week we have an affirmation. As I choose aliveness, I become a magnet to my purpose and dreams. This week's focus is doing only those activities that create a sense of aliveness in you. List those activities that create a sense of aliveness in you and live one out every day. List the people that contribute to your feelings of aliveness and spend some time with them. So that's this week's homework. So let's see if Nancy's mic is okay. You got background noise. Are you surviving?
I know. Yeah, I'm just going from another point A to B again, but to be done in a minute. But about the living aliveness, I think I have been living aliveness, especially maybe the last even 2 weeks more so than I had been. And it's really quite, I will say it's quite enjoyable.
So you think living aliveness just means having fun all the time?
Well, I think it should be enjoyable, yes. Why wouldn't it be enjoyable to live in aliveness?
Right. No, your life should be enjoyable. I mean,
right.
I love living alive, and I mean, I loved running my business. It made me feel alive. I loved running campaigns. It made me feel alive. I loved working with Jack Roser, who died 2 years ago today. You know, that made me feel alive. And yeah, I like to go out and dance and have fun with my family and friends. That's fun too. But I mean, do you ever feel aliveness doing any of your work? And what makes you feel
absolutely
alive?
I think when I'm active and participating in people-to-people kind of situations, alive when I'm around people and interacting with them. Even
well, that's
if it's
great.
Just
and
in a little
people energy. We've got 15 seconds, so this has been a great week. Hope everybody joins us next week. And Awaken to Empowerment. It is time to revolutionize your life. It's your personal revolution. Catch you next week. Bye-bye. I'll call you on the other side, Nia.
Yeah, in a little bit. Ciao.
Yeah, bye.